You are listening to Bible Direction for Life, the sermon podcast of Westside Baptist Church in Bremerton, Washington. We pray that the preaching and teaching you hear on this podcast connects the truth of the Bible to your life, that you would learn more about the triune God who made you and what he made you for. And now, here's today's message.
Amen. Well, good to be back tonight. Good to see you all again. Ruth chapter 1. You have your Bible with you. Ruth chapter 1. Moving backwards, did Ruth chapter 2. And this morning, Ruth chapter 1 now. And if I'm ever invited back, we'll get into Judges, I guess. Just go the opposite direction. Anyway, want to tonight focus on really more of a character study. The book of Ruth is full of just a wonderful story, memorable characters. And so tonight, this will be a character study of just one person focusing on Naomi. So as we read the text in just a moment, I want you to consider it through this lens. What do these verses tell us about Naomi and who she was? So we'll read the entirety of the first chapter of Ruth. Ruth chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. And the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return into the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye shall find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way. For I am too old to have an husband. If I should say, I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should bear also sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law in farewell. But Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left, speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, meaning pleasant. Call me Mara, meaning bitter. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. This is the word of the Lord. In this chapter, there's one defining characteristic of Naomi, and that is bitterness. It's emphasized at the end of the chapter when she renames herself. Bitterness destroys her soul until God cleanses and renews her. Bitterness affects us in many negative ways as well. Consider these quotes. Bitterness is like cancer. It eats upon the host. Some suffering goes on for years and without our noticing eats away at our souls until one day we are no longer able to free ourselves from the bitterness and it stays with us for the rest of our lives. Here's another one. Bitterness can be corrosive. It can rewrite your memories as if it were scrubbing a crime scene clean until in the end you only remember what suits you of its causes. And finally, bitterness is like drinking poison, waiting for the other person to die. So today I want to consider kind of a case study of Naomi, focusing on some verses in chapter 1, but also briefly looking at how the story ends. And I want to, in a couple of minutes, engage in some discussion questions as well. So three questions I want to focus on tonight. First, why was Naomi bitter? Why was Naomi bitter? Second, how did bitterness affect Naomi? And third, how did God change Naomi? I want to spend some time looking at this subject for a few different reasons. One is because as we look at this book, Naomi tends to be the supporting actress while Ruth is lead. After all, the book is named after her. Ruth's character arc is perhaps the more shocking of the two. Ruth changes from a childless widow, a pagan Moabite, to a faithful worshiper of Jehovah who by the end of the book is married to a wonderful husband and the mother to a son who will grandfather Israel's greatest kings. So Ruth's story exemplifies the idea that we love, the concept of greatness from small beginnings. So we love the story of Ruth, and we should. But there's a danger that in focusing on Ruth, we can actually lose sight of Naomi. And the Bible intends for Naomi's transformation, for us to see that Naomi's transformation is actually the key of the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth starts and ends with Naomi. And her problems and her difficulties are resolved in these pages. So that's the first reason I want to focus on Naomi, is because if you are familiar with the book of Ruth, as no doubt most of you probably are, most of us have probably read through this story, and it's a captivating one. Even this morning, I had a number of people in conversation tell me how much they love the book of Ruth, and it's one of my favorite books. But it's easy sometimes to focus on the character arc of Ruth, which is compelling, and miss Naomi's story, and yet the book of Ruth intends for that to be central. So we need to see that. That's the first reason I want us to see. But here's the second reason I want to spend some time talking about Naomi. And that's because Naomi's spiritual problem is one that we far too often share. Now, we may want to be like Ruth, passionately devoted to God, abandoning everything to follow Him. The fact of the matter is that we are all too often like Naomi instead. Indifferent to the things of God, unresponsive to spiritual truth, blind to God's hand, ungrateful for God's blessings, and bitter about the unfairness of life. But the book of Ruth wasn't written just to show us Ruth as an example of faith. It was also written to show us Naomi as an example of change. I remember the scene from the wonderfully patriotic 1980s classic movie Rocky IV, where Rocky fights the Soviet Ivan Drago and beats him in a boxing match in Moscow, and in an incredibly cheesy and also moving and flag-waving type of scene at the end. After Rocky wins, the crowd cheers and chants for him, and he makes a speech into the microphone. If I can change, and if you can change, everybody can change. And I think that's, in a way, the message of the book of Ruth as you consider the example of Naomi. If Naomi can change, anybody can change. That's an important and a helpful message to many who have found themselves captive to bitterness in some way or another, perhaps for years. Because more than almost anything else, bitterness can capture your soul, can take root deep inside you in a way that can poison the well of your joy for years and decades at a time. But if bitter Naomi can change, so can you. Now, Naomi was indisputably in this chapter a bitter person. She literally wanted to change her name to bitter to reflect her attitude. And in that day and in that culture, your name was what defined you. And so for her whole life, she'd been called Naomi, pleasant. Now she wanted to be called Mara, bitter. Her life had been turned upside down and she felt that her name should reflect that. So why was she bitter? Why was Naomi bitter? Let me get some input. We've read the story together. We've examined this chapter. Let me get some input from some of you. What do you think is the cause of Naomi's bitterness? Any thoughts? Yes? That's entirely possible.
Yeah. Her husband.
It's possible she's looking at the past and there's bitterness because of a decision that she may have disagreed with. We're not sure if she agreed or not, but bitterness over a past decision, entirely possible. What are some other thoughts? Yes.
She lost her whole
family. Lost her whole family. So personal tragedy. She had gone through this life-defining personal tragedy. What else? Great thoughts. Keep them coming. Yes. Yeah, so she'd been displaced, lost her protection, provision, and was, in that culture, felt helpless. Yeah, so there's a helplessness that doesn't just affect the past, but also looking at the future, she's in worry and stress. How am I going to be provided for? Great thoughts. Anything else? Why was she bitter? Yeah.
Maybe she felt abandoned by God.
That's great. We'll return to that. Yeah, maybe she felt abandoned by God. Yeah, particularly blaming God for her circumstances. Any other thoughts? Yes. Yeah, so interpreting her circumstances in light of making assumptions about God's disposition toward her based on her past circumstances. Yeah, that's good. We'll definitely dive into that deeper. Anything else? These are all good thoughts. Yeah, so why was she bitter? So let me talk about this a little bit. It'd be easy to assume that Naomi was bitter because of her circumstances. And that's certainly a part of it. You consider her circumstances, what she went through would be enough to crush almost anybody. First, in a time of famine, she was forced to leave her home, her husband's farm, her family and friends. We don't know if it was her decision or not, but that's what she leaves. As she moves to a strange country where she knew no one, and then shortly after that, her husband of many years dies. So finally, both of her sons passed away some years later, and she's left with no husband, no children, no grandchildren, living in a land that was not her home. So her bitterness is completely understandable in light of her tragedy. So the easy thing is for us to say, well, she's bitter because of her circumstances, and that's a part of it. And yet, in the end, it's not really true that she's merely bitter because of her circumstances. I want to explain why that's not the case, because other people in similar circumstances have not become bitter. So Ruth is a great example in this story. There's not a trace of bitterness in Ruth's character, and yet Ruth was also a widow, childless, and she followed Naomi to a land that was not her own. And so in many ways, Ruth's experience, life experience and tragedy is very, very similar to Naomi, and yet Ruth, there's not a trace of bitterness in her life and disposition and words. Certainly we see other characters in Scripture. Job experienced a tragedy much like Naomi's. Yet in his suffering, famously said, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Probably all of us at an individual level We know people, perhaps some in this room have gone through great tragedies. Certainly, you know people, you have friends, family, church members that you've watched go through great tragedy. And isn't it true that you've seen people respond in different ways to very similar tragedies? So there's some who goes through a tragedy that seems to break them, break their souls. They're people who have walked away from God, and one of the main reasons is personal tragedy or difficult circumstances. And yet, isn't it also true that we know people who've gone through difficult circumstances, and yet it's made their faith stronger, and they haven't walked away from God? So the key to understanding what's going on with Naomi, it's not just that she went through difficult circumstances. Naomi was bitter because of how she responded to her circumstances. She responded to her circumstances. The same tragic circumstances might have occurred to someone else with a different response, yet Naomi was bitter because of how she responded. Now, there's a lesson here for us, because it's easy for us sometimes to play the victim. Now, many people have been victimized, have been hurt. I'm not denying it. You may have been hurt by your family or by a friend. You may have had a bad experience in church in the past. Maybe you weren't treated fairly at work. Maybe you got fired and you didn't deserve it. Maybe you got passed over for a promotion and you shouldn't have. Maybe you've gone through these experiences. Maybe you've gone through a tragedy in life, a sickness, or the loss of a loved one, or a financial crisis. It's okay. So the pain is real in this victimization. The pain's real. The suffering is genuine. But tragic circumstances themselves are no explanation for bitterness. No, bitterness comes when we respond to suffering in a particular way. Rather than seeking to resolve it or enduring it patiently, we let it eat at us and change us. So sometimes we become bitter toward other people who've hurt us, and in resentment we refuse to forgive them, but we end up hurting ourselves the most. But Naomi's bitterness wasn't toward another person. Naomi was primarily bitter because she had a wrong view of God. So look at verse 13. Listen to her words. Verse 13, the end of the verse, she says, "The hand of the Lord is gone out against me." Verse 20, she says, the end of the verse, "The Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. Verse 21, she says, "I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me?" So listen, Naomi goes through these tragedies, and then she blames her suffering on God. She blames her problems on God. She feels that God is out to get her, that God is judging her. So the image in verse 13, she says, "The hand of the Lord has gone out against me." So this is a common phrase in the Old Testament, "the hand of the Lord." And it's used to describe this idea of God as the divine warrior. So the hand of the Lord, for example, is used in 1 Samuel to describe God destroying the Philistine army. So it's God's hand of power and might, God the divine warrior, his hand. But Naomi used it to indicate that God is against her. In Naomi's eyes, Yahweh has attacked her as his enemy. This is where her bitterness came from. Ultimately, Naomi is bitter because she has a wrong view of God. She interpreted all of her circumstances as proof that God was against her. I've personally talked with people who feel that way about God. They feel that God is against them. They see their lives through that lens, and it leads to great spiritual bitterness. So is that true? Is Naomi right? Well, we'll have to consider the rest of the story. So that's where her bitterness came from. She's bitter because of the way she responds to her circumstances. She responds to her circumstances by blaming God and assuming that God is out to get her. How did it affect Naomi? What type of person did she become? So we've read through this chapter and it gives us a lot of clues. So Let's talk about this. Let me get some input here. What are some ways that bitterness affected Naomi and the type of person that she was or became? What are some thoughts? What do you notice from the text? Yeah. Sharp. Yeah, so her words, her tone is different, is sharper. What else? It's a good observation. Yes.
Well, even too, like, she basically told her two daughters-in-law to just go back to their old way of life.
Yeah, so she's uncaring, not empathetic, really. Yeah. What else? Yeah.
Her grief became her identity.
Her grief became her identity. Yeah, she let her circumstances define her identity the way she thought about herself. Yeah, these are all good. Any other thoughts? How did it affect her? Yeah. Yes?
I think she abandoned God. I think she said, you know, I'm just done with all this. If I don't have to deal with God, then I don't have to deal with all this. If I can just let it all go, then I'm just going to do that.
Yeah. So it profoundly affected her relationship with God in a way that she was basically just kind of walking away. Yeah. Anything else? These are all great thoughts. Yeah. Nope. Okay. Scratch your head. All right. So, yeah, let me think about this in terms of three relationships in Naomi's life. And we've kind of hit some of this already, but it's good. How did bitterness affect Naomi? Number one, bitterness hurt Naomi's relationship with God. So Naomi was raised in Israel. She was raised as one of God's chosen people. Every indication is that she grew up learning that God loved her and that God wanted to bless her. We can assume that's how she was raised. She was taught about God as the great creator, the faithful provider, the loving king over his people. But when she blamed her tragic circumstances on God, everything changed. She held her hurt in her heart, and she let resentment devour her soul until, in the process of time, she blamed God for her problems. She felt that God was against her. Naomi's whole view of God changed when bitterness took over her life. The way she spoke about God to others changed as well. And she lost the opportunity to speak truth about God's goodness. Consider the way that she speaks about God in the middle of this chapter. Consider the way she speaks about God to her daughters-in-law. Do you understand the kind of opportunity that she has here to speak truth to her daughters-in-law? Okay, so these are women. Now you can look into, you know, was it a good decision for her boys to marry them? Like, okay, forget about all that. Here's the situation. She has a relationship with these two Moabitess women who are pagans, do not worship the God of Israel, at least initially, and she has the opportunity to be a light to the Gentiles, to be a missionary, in a sense, to these two women. If you understand the history and theology of the Old Testament, this has always been God's plan. Right? It was never God's plan. You can go all the way back to the covenant with Abraham and understand, even in the language of the covenant with Abraham, God is talking about blessing all of the families of the earth. It's not just this narrow, only Israel is to know the Lord. It was always intended that Israel would know the Lord, and through Israel knowing the Lord, that they would be a light to the nations around them, who would then come to know and worship the true God through the testimony and worship and witness of Israel. Okay, so in a very real way, Naomi has a very personal opportunity to be a witness to the God of Israel, her God. At least she was raised with Yahweh as her God. She has an opportunity to be a missionary and give witness to God to these two pagan women, Ruth and Orpah. And you want to see how she blows this opportunity through her bitterness. It's gone, because she speaks about God in such a bitter way. In verse 13, she's saying, the hand of the Lord has gone out against me, and we only have snippets of conversation, but I'm sure that this is how she spoke about God. And it's fascinating to me that as you consider the trajectory of Ruth, the story of Ruth, Ruth comes to know the God of Israel and worship the God of Israel, sadly, not because of her mother-in-law, but in spite of her mother-in-law. That's a testimony to the character of Ruth, and it's a testimony to the grace of God. But what an indictment on Naomi, that out of all the people that should have had an opportunity to impact Ruth and Orpah, to have a relationship with God. Naomi is actually working at cross purposes to that to such an extent that when you consider it, it's truly amazing that Ruth actually came to trust in God at all. Because Naomi did nothing to push her in that direction. If anything, she pushed her the other way. So, yeah, go ahead.
I have a question about that.
Yeah.
So you don't think that husband and son's passing on, that she didn't have that influence on them towards God, and then she walks away and says, just forget all of what I've done before?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't think it's that way, or it really is that she had done and then, like, really seriously done?
Yeah. I don't know. That's a great question. When did Naomi become bitter? And I don't think the text answers that really. It's just we have this window into this one moment. And so it's entirely possible that Naomi may have, because Ruth has some understanding of who the God of Israel is in a way that she wants to put trust in him, and she does. So it's entirely possible that that was through the influence of Naomi in times past, or maybe through the influence of her husband. I don't know. But it's tragic that in the window we see, all the influence that Naomi has is the other way. Yeah. Which could have been so powerful. So how many times as Christians is it, you know, you've been telling somebody about Jesus for years, perhaps, but then if they see you go through a tragedy or difficult circumstance and respond like Naomi did, you could potentially overturn years of work. Yeah. Yeah, so we don't know. This doesn't say, but in this window we have, it's an indictment on Naomi. Yeah. So she lost this opportunity. Bitterness changed her. Bitterness redefines God in your heart. It happens time and time again in the Bible and in our own lives. Bitterness changes us because it changes our view of God. So I like to think of the analogy of you get a splinter in your hand, right, and it hurts, but it's not that big of a deal. So if you decide, well, I'm going to ignore it, I'm not going to do anything with it, well, what's going to happen? Well, it gets worse. Every time something touches that area, it hurts a little bit more and eventually gets infected and becomes even more painful than if it had been dealt with earlier. So bitterness is like that. It festers. Book of Hebrews talks about a root of bitterness. Bitterness starts from a small seed. It can grow underground and invisible, but eventually it produces fruit. It can take over your life as quickly as weeds take over a garden. And the thing about roots is they're under the ground. They're unseen. You may not even know how big a deal they are. So we moved in to our house almost 4 years ago in Arizona when we moved there. And there was a little tiny bush local, it's called Jerusalem thorn, this little bush that starts growing in the backyard. So we don't think much of it, a little bush. And after a little while, it grew fast and we're like, oh, we gotta trim this thing. We gotta cut this thing down. So at that point in time, it was maybe about 4 feet high. You know, it had been almost nothing when we moved in. It's probably about 4 feet high. So I cut it down, and then the next year it comes back again. And so after a couple of years of this, I'm like, well, I just need to deal with this at the root. I need to like uproot this and get in here. So I go out there one morning thinking, you know, just quick, get a shovel out and, you know, 10 minutes, whatever, have this totally uprooted. And I started digging and I realized the previous people before us had also just trimmed this periodically. And this thing had a root system. I'm not kidding you. It was probably 3 inches thick, this tap root that ran under the yard I chased this for about 30 to 40 feet. This taproot this size going under the yard in like 2 or 3 different directions. And I'm out there literally all morning long trying to dig this root out of the ground. And every time I think I've got it up, it's going in another direction. And I had no idea, because all I see is this little bush that from the size it is, I assume it's got probably, you know, a couple of feet of root somewhere underground. And it's this massive, like tree taproot sized thing that's under there that I have no idea it's under the surface. That's why bitterness is so dangerous, because in our hearts it flares up every now and then, just like that bush kept growing back every so often. But it's not until you go deeper that you realize sometimes how thick and how deep that bitterness is under the surface where you haven't seen it. So if you become bitter, you'll see everything through the lens of the hurt you've received. You'll see God through that same lens. You'll miss out on the fellowship and the closeness to God that you could have had. When I was in college, I regularly worked overnight. And I found out lack of sleep dulls your senses. And so I would work overnight for months, and it would come summertime. I was done with working overnight, and I would sleep regularly and sleep extra and all that. And it was so weird. The best thing I can describe, it's like watching a movie that's in black and white, and then it like fades into color. And all of a sudden, like, you realize, oh, I never knew how much was going on. It was like the world kind of transitioned in the summer as I got more sleep from black and white into color. Like, I would walk down the sidewalk and realize, there's birds singing. Like, I don't know the last time that I noticed a bird singing. I'm just so tired. You just kind of walk through life and it dulls your senses. Bitterness can do that to you. It can dull your senses. It prevents you from seeing God's goodness all around you. Changes the way you see and relate to Him. So that's the first main way that bitterness hurt Naomi, hurt her relationship with God. Bitterness also hurt Naomi's relationships with other people. Your bitterness doesn't just affect you. It hurts your friends, hurts your family, hurts church members. Naomi's bitterness, it hurt her to the point that she could not initially respond to Ruth's love for her. When Ruth and Orpah tried to accompany her to Bethlehem, Naomi tried her best to talk them out of it. And eventually, Ruth responds with this incredible declaration of commitment in verse 16 and 17. I mean, it's just so powerful. I talked with a couple this morning who were telling me that these verses were in their wedding vows, you know, and verse 16 and 17, it's just beautiful. Have you considered how Naomi responds to this? Ruth, in verse 16 and 17, makes this speech that is just so poetic and beautiful, and there's so much depth of feeling. And verse 18, yeah.
What book?
Ruth.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Verse 16
and
17, but what chapter?
Ruth chapter 1, yeah, verse 16 and 17, yeah. And so it's this beautiful poetic declaration of affection. How does Naomi respond? You just quit talking to her. Like, okay. Can you imagine somebody says this to you? I'm never going to leave you. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I'm going to die. I'll be buried there. And nothing but death will part us. And you're like, you just walk away. That's what she does. That's so tragic. Bitterness leads you to treat other people like trash, even when they love you and are trying to help you. That's what Naomi does. She ignores Ruth. She doesn't say a word, keeps walking. Bitterness makes you so obsessed over your own problems that you can't even see what other people are doing. Naomi, no doubt, as Ruth is saying all this, Naomi is just still continuing to think about her own problems. Because she's selfishly obsessed with her own issues and ignores Ruth's declaration. You'll miss the beautiful things of life, like Ruth's wonderful speech, because you're too busy thinking about your own hurt. Bitterness allows you to be hurt time and time again. I've seen this. I've had this happen to me. I'm sure you have too. There's maybe a hurtful conversation or comment that somebody says, and then you play it over in your head the rest of the day and the next day, and you play this conversation over, and you're allowing it to hurt you 50 times instead of once. We get hurt in life. You can't prevent being hurt. If you love others, C.S. Lewis says to love is to make yourself vulnerable. You're opening your heart up to hurt. There's no way out of that. But bitterness allows you to be hurt again and again and again and again unnecessarily. Notice when they get to Bethlehem, Ruth and Naomi. Naomi and the village women, they have this interaction in verse 19, 20, 21. The women and Naomi, they ignore Ruth completely. Nobody asks Naomi about Ruth. Naomi doesn't say anything about Ruth. Naomi says in verse 21, notice, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. The fullness and emptiness she's talking about, maybe a part of it's financial, but primarily she's talking about family, right? So she's saying, I went out full. I went out with a husband, two sons. I went out with a family. I went out full, and God brought me back again empty. I went out with a family, and I come back with nothing. Do you understand she's saying this and Ruth is right there? That's what bitterness does to you. You hurt other people and you don't even notice because you're obsessed with yourself. Imagine the hurt. I came back. And there's Ruth right there. I came back empty. At the end of the book, I love this at the end of the story, chapter 4, verse 15. The local, this is intentional. This is bringing it full circle. She comes to Bethlehem. The city is moved. She has this conversation with the implication here is with the village women at the end of chapter 1. Look at chapter 4, verse after Ruth and Boaz, the end of the story, spoiler alert, they get married, they have a baby, wonderful love story, new family started. Chapter 4, verse 14, and the women, this is like the village women, said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. You understand, by the end of the story, these village women are telling Naomi, after they've watched all that Ruth has done, I mean, going out into the fields and working and taking care of her mother-in-law and getting all this love story with Boaz, it's all structured intentionally in a way that will provide for Naomi and not just Ruth. Naomi is so self-centered and Ruth is so other-centered in caring for her mother-in-law in this whole story. And so at the end of the story, the village women who had this conversation earlier where she says, I've come back empty. And the idea especially is because her two sons who would have cared for and provided for her in her old age, her two sons are dead. And at the end of the story, they tell her, do you understand, Naomi, that Ruth is better to you than seven sons? And she thought she came back empty. And they reminded her, you came back full because you brought back Ruth with you and she's better than seven sons. She missed what God was doing because of her bitterness and her hurt. It's incredible. When you're bitter, your life becomes all about you. You can't see other people's problems and needs. You can't help them, but you also can't see the kindness of others. One person has hurt you, and so you miss out on the 10 people that are trying to help you. Something goes wrong in your life, so you don't see the 5 things going right in your life. Bitterness sours your perspective. It doesn't just hurt you. It affects those around you. It hurts your spouse, your kids, your church, your friends. It's a selfish and immature way to think. As a parent, I have to have this conversation with my kids periodically. So the 3 oldest, all 3 girls and a sisters, they have plenty of times when they don't get along. So regularly in our household, we will hear drama, I'll say. So sometimes we'll hear something... Sometimes we'll hear something like one sister telling another, you're just the worst person in the world. Okay. Sit down. Let's have a conversation. Now, yes, we could just take the easy way out and, no, don't ever say anything like that. You're punished. Like, no, I wanted to think about, do you really think that is true? You don't. You don't actually think that's true. Or they'll say, drama, something like today, you know, we say, oh, you can't go watch a movie right now. You can't go to the neighbor's house, whatever. Like, today is the worst day ever. Like, let's think about this. Let's think about some good things that have happened today. Let's think about some bad things that didn't happen. Is today really the worst day ever? It's drama there. But bitterness can lead adults to behave like little kids when it comes to drama like that. And you'll miss, here's 5 things, 10 things that God is doing in my life right now, and you'll miss it for the one thing bad that's happening. You'll miss, here's the one person that's betrayed me and hurt me, and you'll miss the 7, 8 people that God has placed in your life that love you. They're trying to help you. So bitterness hurt Naomi's relationship with God. Bitterness hurt Naomi's relationships with other people. Perhaps the most tragic part of the story is this. Bitterness hurt Naomi's view of herself. She arrives back in her hometown. Naomi is so visibly changed that her old friends and neighbors barely recognize her. And she says, don't call me Naomi. Don't call me pleasant. Call me Mara, bitter. Her sense of who he was. Somebody mentioned identity. Her sense of identity had totally changed because of her circumstances and the way she responded to those circumstances. Her identity had changed. She saw herself as one who had been hurt, as a victim, without the possibility of anything more. Bitterness is the poison that eats us up from the inside. It changes the type of person that you are and the type of person that you feel you can be. The longer you stay bitter, the harder it is to escape. Now, the name that she chooses, Mara, it's interesting. It literally means bitter. But it also has a history in the Old Testament. Anybody recall the history of Mara? There's an Old Testament story. Anybody know it? Yeah.
The water.
The water, yeah. So the Israelites, leaving the land of Egypt, right, traveling under Moses' leadership, and they come to a place where there's a spring, a body of water in the desert, and the water there, the people, no doubt, you see the water, a long day traveling in the desert, you're excited, you go to the water, they begin to drink it, they find out it's bitter. You can't drink it. So they call the place Mara. They complain to Moses. They grumbled about the bitter water. So the word would remind the Israelites of a place of bitterness and grumbling. Yet if Naomi had remembered the rest of the story, it doesn't end that way. God miraculously, supernaturally made the bitter waters sweet. God provided for his people. And the very next stop along the route is a place called Elim, where there were wells and palm trees and the people camped and rested. And in the Old Testament, Mara, the place of bitterness, not only did God supernaturally make the bitter sweet, but he followed it with a place of provision and rest. And he's about to do the same thing for Naomi. As you read through the story, that's what you see. That's the last question I want to answer today. I've considered why was Naomi bitter? How did bitterness affect Naomi? Finally, how did God change Naomi? As you go through the story, and I won't spend a lot of time in the details of the rest of the story, but basically, to put it simply, God showed Naomi grace through her circumstances in ways that demonstrated that he was not against her, but for her. Talked about this morning, Naomi had to come to the realization as well. She had to interpret circumstances and events in light of God's loving care. And so she had to understand. I put it this morning, Naomi recognized grace. She had to not just see God's grace, but understand and identify it as grace. So throughout the rest of the book, you see that God works out circumstances for Naomi to be provided for and eventually to have a family again. And it's so beautiful because the story begins with Naomi losing two children, and the story ends with Naomi, the childless widow, holding a baby in her arms again. It's incredible. Over the process of time, Naomi saw God's goodness, and she came to the place of being able to praise him again, free from bitterness. So the truth for us today is to understand God shows us similar love and grace in so many ways, most notably through his Son, Jesus Christ. If you struggle with bitterness, your bitterness is most likely giving you a wrong view of God. It's hurting you. It's hurting people around you. So the answer to your bitterness is to come to a right view of God. It's to understand God for who he really is. God is not against you. God is good. God is present. And our bad circumstances don't change the goodness of God. If you ever struggle seeing and understanding the goodness of God in the world around you, there's one place you can always turn. See the goodness of God in the work of Christ. God loves us in this way. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the goodness of God. That's the cure for a bitter soul. His grace for us is unlimited and it's undeserved. And there's a reason why as Christians we need to go to the gospel again and again. And sometimes it's easy to think, well, the gospel is something you believe to become a Christian. No, the gospel is something you believe to continue as a Christian. You continue to believe the gospel and to go back to the gospel, if no other reason, because it continually reminds us of the goodness and the grace of God. And it keeps us from the poison of bitterness. So if there's bitterness in your heart today, replace it with the gospel. I don't know hearts, but if anyone here in this room has never trusted Christ as Savior, see His love, respond in repentance and faith. And if you're a believer tonight, don't live in bitterness. Instead, return to the gospel. The forgiveness of Christ, that's what inspires us to forgive others, to forgive as we've been forgiven. The grace of God, it heals our wounds, and it dries our tears. And so tonight, let me encourage you to throw away your bitterness and to replace it with a constant awareness of the goodness of God, just like Naomi was able to do. So we've got a few minutes. I hope these thoughts have been an encouragement to you. If anybody has any thoughts, questions, anything on the topic of bitterness, and if there's anything I can do to answer, I'd love to. Yeah.
One of the things that struck me, because you said when she said, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara,"
yeah,
I went out full and came back empty, and this is right there, right? Can you imagine yeah. the influence she just had on all these people who already knew her well yeah. about who's standing right next to her, that she's nothing to her?
Yes.
And wouldn't have, they might have would have said, "Hey, go to Boaz the field. He's generous. He's really kind.
Yes.
Go there." And instead, she just had to happen on it.
Yeah.
What would have been so much better if she had
yes.
changed her heart attitude before she
yeah.
got there?
Yeah, because it's a theme throughout the book that Ruth is constantly having to fight this uphill battle that no one wants to accept her because she's a foreigner. And Naomi does nothing in the story to really help her out, at least not in the early chapters of that. Yeah, that's a good point. She makes Ruth's journey more difficult than it needed to be. Yeah. Gil, you have a thought?
That's a little bit of a sidetrack.
Yeah.
It just occurred to me, and I'm curious, why, if the point of the kinsman redeemer was to raise up seed to someone who didn't have any,
yeah.
Why is Boaz the one who's sitting on the genealogy?
Boaz. Yeah. Typically genealogies would list the male descendants, and so that'd just be a kind of a logical explanation. Oh, instead of Elimelech? Yeah, that's a good question. The raising up seed, it would refer to the family line, but it also, and in chapter 3 and 4, it's explicitly connected to the land and the inheritance. And so the main way that that Boaz was fulfilling the line of Elimelech was by keeping the property in the family. So it was huge in those days. Maybe they have some out here. I don't know. In Missouri, where we lived previously, they'd have some century farms, and that's so cool. I remember I was actually doing jury duty on a court case with the guy that was trying through some semi-legal means to steal a century farm from this guy that worked it. And having that case, we were able, the jury, to make a good decision and help this guy out. But this farm, it was started by his great-grandfather 100 and some years before. And you think about, and I don't tend to think that way because I've moved about every 3 years through my whole life. So I don't tend to think of houses and land that way. But in that culture where it's think about Naboth and his vineyard, and he's like, "I'm willing to die for the land staying in the family." And so for Elimelech and Naomi, that land was going to go to strangers, and instead it stays in the family. I think that's probably the main application, because you see that in 3 and 4, it's the land and the hand of Ruth. Yeah. Hopefully that kind of answers the question a little bit. Any other thoughts? Questions, comments?
It's neat that Naomi's bitterness didn't become Ruth's.
Yes. And I think that says something about, as individuals, not only do we not have to let hurt affect us in that way, because Ruth was equally hurt but not affected the same way, but we don't have to let the people around us affect us to become like them in that way. Because Ruth didn't. And so that's victim, the victim mentality can easily become a group thing, a group identity. And it's interesting that, yeah, you're right. It doesn't with Ruth. And that doesn't have to define you just because you've been hurt or your friends or family have responded with bitterness. It doesn't have to be you. It's a good thought. Any other, yeah?
I heard such a great definition of bitterness. Bitterness is rehearsing in your mind the hurts you believe others have done to you.
Yeah.
Pause. However, what part did you play in that too?
Yes. The bitterness, it doesn't just relive our memories, it rewrites our memories, right? So I've found this true in my own life. I'm sure you have as well. Bitterness, so it doesn't just make you like think through and relive, but it colors those things so that if you think about something enough in a bitter type of mindset, it will make you attribute the worst possible motives to somebody else that they may not have had. They may not have intended to hurt you in that way, and you will rationalize and put those motives on them, or you will absolve and justify yourself of any wrong. And I mean, it rewrites history most often. It doesn't just relive it; it rewrites it. It's good. Any other thoughts? All good things. Appreciate the input. I hope this is encouraging to you and helpful. Let's close things out in a word of prayer.
Thank you for listening to this message. If you would like to learn more about the Westside Baptist Church, please visit our website, www.BibleDirectionForLife.com. Subscribe to the podcast if you would like to hear new sermons and lessons each week. And remember that a sermon podcast is no substitute for opening up a Bible and reading it for yourself.